Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
To declare your independence on the Free Talk Live Network.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Let us make them remember.
Independence, me, Ernest Hancock from Phoenix, Arizona. Well, west of Phoenix, but we get even west out in the desert, we get our share of atmospheric manipulation of chemtrails. And this is we're going to talk about some things. There's a lot of things we need to discuss with James Lee. Now, James Lee has Climate Viewer News. You go climateviewer.com, and he's got climateviewer.org, and one is amazing maps. I mean, it's just live Earth monitoring, educational maps on telemetry from satellites and stuff. And we first hooked up with James years ago. He spoke at what on earth are they spraying thing at a G. Edward Griffin event here in Phoenix, and had him come on, yak it, and so on. And then we had him on our, semi-regular basis over the years. And things are getting funky, 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 funky. We want to, introduce you to him and say hello. Well, first say hello, James.
Hello, James.
There you go. You got it, because they always got it. All right. James Franklin Lee Jr., Jim Lee, helps people understand complex ideas by creating maps, timelines, articles, and lectures. He's going to talk about pollution, privacy, propaganda, on the things that affect us here on the planet. And I wanted to talk about the creation of the site and the data that you use and how you got that. Now, I can give from memory, but I'd rather you go ahead and do it, would you, James?
Sure. I've spent the past, better part of 15 years plus studying these topics from a macro level. And what I find unique about my work is that I try to give everybody this exact same source material that I use to create, my opinions, my beliefs. Because you know what? I'm not too proud to admit that I could be wrong. So I generally, on my YouTube channel, at Climate Viewer on YouTube, I tell everybody almost every single video, if you see something wrong with what I'm saying, please let me know. Luckily, that hasn't happened too often. But as far as being able to search the internet and wade through the countless rabbit holes to nowhere and understanding the slave speak and manipulation and propaganda techniques, not only employed by the usual suspects like the United Nations, the World Economic Forum, the trilateral Bilderberger technocrats, but even the activists, because there are a lot of activists out there that aren't actually activists. They are infotainers. So I try to distinguish between what I consider to be the infotainers and actual activism and give you the tools to do it yourself. I can't be everywhere at once. So when I'm talking about whether it's geoengineering or weather modification, space weather modification like HAARP and sounding rockets, electromagnetic pollution, you know, whatever topic I'm talking about, I want to give everybody all of the source material that I use. The same is true for my mapping website on climateviewer.org. All of the maps that are there are, you know, that I created are available in a Google Earth format. So you're able to download that map yourself, remix it, have fun with it, all that sort of thing. And in each map are, you know, the reference material for where I got it from. I think that this is the best approach for educating people, like, you know, making it to where people can educate themselves. Like, I don't like have to hold your hand and go through it. ClimateViewer.com has four main, you know, frequently asked questions pages just devoted to weather control. I have a geoengineering page, a weather modification page. When you click on sitemap at the top on that little hamburger, you'll see that it's broken down by category, and it explains, you know, each of those categories, like right there under sitemap. I don't know why it's, the font must be missing on your
well,
monitor.
Well, because I got it minimized, so it's the fit, so it's
okay.
Getting funky.
Yeah. So anyway, so it's like, you know, all of the different categories of stuff, and then the pollution, the privacy, and propaganda, so that you can start there. Like, just to give an example, click on geoengineering, the very top one right there. And when you scroll to this page and you scroll down just a little bit, at the very top of the page, scroll down a little bit more, you'll see two videos. Those PowerPoint presentations you just passed. Each of these pages, you scroll just a little bit more.
Up or down?
Yep. Right there. There should be two videos pop up, but no, they're at the top of the page. They're right there above. Right there, it says presentations. I don't know why they're not loading for you unless you have JavaScript disabled.
Well, it's because I got it minimized. I could maximize it, and then let's try this so that.
Yeah, it should show up anyway.
I mean, well, it doesn't matter. Go ahead.
It doesn't matter. So there's PowerPoint presentations for you for the uninitiated can jump in and you know, download them in either PowerPoint or PDF format. And this is actually where we met right there at the Global Warming and Inconvenient Lie in Phoenix, Arizona in 2016. And that's when I gave the presentation on stage with Ed Griffin. So, you know, I have these frequently asked question pages to give the uninitiated the macro view. You know, like if you don't know anything about this topic, start here. Just like with this, here's the PDF with slide notes. You know, you can download the PowerPoint presentation or just click next right on it. You know, that's the presentation I gave, and here's the original documents so that other people can use this as learning material or have a, you know, party with other nerds and sit around and show it to them.
You know, this is one thing I wanted to, so people understand what really got me interested in your work was, I'm trying to go from memory. I'm thinking you're the guy that started working on the forums with, when they created Google Earth in the beginning. Wasn't that you?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, this is interesting. Let's have this conversation real quick so people understand. What James had done is, as you get into this, you start to go, well, this, all this telemetry and data and satellites, we paid for it. That's ours, you know? How come, yeah, I don't got that? Well, what up with that? Then there was an effort. I remember the technology was just getting to the point that a bunch of your subscribers and supporters and friends and people that are also interested in this kind of stuff and hadn't put the time to create the web pages and so on, had the ability to be a weather station on their house. You know, you just put it up there and you get all this real data from all over the place and not this, we put it on the hot tarmac next to the, you know, HVAC unit in the back of the, you know, whatever the hell, you know, it's all this crap that they're manipulating and doing now. So you're getting all this data, but there was when Google Earth first started, at the beginning, they had forums that people would go on. Oh, we can put a layer of this thing, a layer of that. We could put where all the cell towers are. We could put where all the HARP, you know, facilities are. We could put where. And they're like, whoa, time out. You know, you guys, they're penetrating the bureaucracy, you know. They're getting too much data. They're learnifying themselves. They're so freaking not allowed. So eventually, Google just stopped those forums and participation with this and using that and adding layers and so on. So you took it upon yourself to start, you know, accumulating this data other ways, you know, having a central command for this kind of stuff. Because I don't know if chemtrails or whatever was your focus, but, you know, you start seeing things. And I just want to start the conversation with this observation. Donna and I make our own bread and so on. She's over there making it and does whatever. We'll put out the sun oven. So, and then we have solar. We use a lot of solar and so on. We put out the sun. I remember years ago, it would be February. I mean, it's freaking cold. And you get 400, 450 degrees in your sun oven. So I'm like, boom, it'd bake a loaf of bread in 50 minutes in the winter in Phoenix. Well, now we put out and it's the morning. You're starting to preheat it. It's rocking and rolling and whatnot. It's getting up to 400 degrees. And then all of a sudden, you know, the contrail, chemtrail, whatever trail, and then they turn into a haze, and this is like a regular thing here in the Valley. Now, it wasn't so much during the Trump administration. During the Trump administration, two things I noticed. One, there was a lot more Christmas tree lights. And the other thing is that there was a lot less overcast, because I paid attention, because I like to go golfing. Well, I have to use orange balls, you know, or lime green ones or bright ones or something like that. And it's not that my eyes are bad. It's that when the white ball would go up above the horizon, you drive and it'd go up, it was the same color of the haze in the sky. Instead of it being a bright blue, because it's always clear in Phoenix. I mean, oh my God, I got a cloud. But goes and you would lose the ball. And I'm like, this haze sucks. So that was my opening with where I was golfing with. Chemtrail, some bitches freaking made me lose my ball. So this is how just little anecdotal evidence like that you start noticing, okay? Well, then when we did, it was sunny, it's up, and then that cloud thing, it started going out, and the temperature dropped like, God, 80, 100 degrees, so it took an hour and a half to cook a 50-minute normally piece of bread. So I kind of noticed that. Then we used to get a lot more solar with the amount of panels that we have, you know, to power. And I'm going, is that a thing? Are they looking to reduce, you know, is it an energy thing? Is it they, them, those thing? Is there something to reduce? Because here in Phoenix area, in the West Valley desert out here, it is oceans of solar panels. And there's like two or three times what they got coming within months. I mean, it's amazing. They're just leveling out the desert and put up as many solar panels they can do. So I'm just, you know, is there a battle to reduce that, or could there be, or so it's not that there is or a conspiracy. They wouldn't do that. That'd be wrong, you know. But, you know, my thing is that by reducing the solar radiation that's hitting the earth, you have a lot of impact on plants growing, health, the, you know, solar generation, solar ovens cooking my bread. I mean, I'm wondering what other thing, why are they want to, oh, we got, you're a conspiracy nut from the time that we had you on earlier to where now it's like, well, of course we're geoengineering because we love you. I mean, you know, they admit it now. You know, it's like, oh, yeah, but that's not a bug, it's a feature. I mean, you know, it's just, it's becoming so common now. So I'm just wondering, what stage are we at now once you started doing all this and working with people and accumulating this data and, you know, building your web pages and doing these presentations? At what stage are we now? Are they... they create it. They're open about it. It's coming. We get another Democratic administration, and oh my God, they're just going to put an umbrella over the country. I mean, what is happening?
Well, you can look at the climate clocks that have been turned on. And basically, they've set the countdown timer to about 6 years, which conveniently means the climate clocks will run out in 2029. And I think we both know why that is, because Agenda 2030. So it's convenient that the climate clocks that are currently, you know, being displayed in all these major cities that are counting down to 2029 will run out. And their basis, their thesis is, if we don't act on climate change before this point, there's no turning back. Well, what's the obvious solution to, you guys didn't do what we told you to? Legalize geoengineering. So it seems like we're really coming up fast on this point where there will be no more semantics. There will be no more hidden agendas. We're just going to say, hey, look, the United States and the UK are funding geoengineering. This is what we're going to try to set the temperature of the planet to. Suck it. But back to what you said about the, your solar energy. When I spoke at the EPA in 2015, I went to an EPA hearing, this was broadcast on C-SPAN, and my exact words were, let me get back up. I said, aviation-induced cloudiness endangers future growth in solar energy, affects tourism, and is projected to make terrestrial astronomy impossible by 2050.
Mm.
Now, I said that in 2015 in front of the U.S. EPA. But while everybody was arguing over whether it should be Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump, the Obama administration stepped in very quickly because clearly, you know, I had brought four other chemtrail activists with me to Washington, D.C., and they did not expect things to go the way they did. They damn sure didn't expect Max Bliss to say your despotic New World Order on C-SPAN, which I thought was absolutely epic. But the Obama administration signed what's called the Federal Alternative Aviation Pact, if you will, with the European Union, China, and the ICAO, the International Civil Aviation Organization, to use biofuels for contrail control. And as a result of this, multilateral agreement.
Whoa, say that again. For contrail control, what? What'd they call it?
Biofuels for contrail control.
Okay, so they're wanting to use some kind of plant-based aviation fuel so it wouldn't make contrails.
There's two main types of biofuels. There's HEFA and there's Fischer Tropes, but both of them are bad. Some of them are oil seed crops, like the Jatropha plant, the Camelina plant. Some of them involve, like with the Fischer Tropes process, turning use chicken fat grease into jet fuel, landfill waste to jet fuel conversion. You name it, they've pretty much come up with an idea for it. Similarly, in international shipping, because ships make ship tracks and ship tracks make chemtrails look like a straw compared to your forearm, the International Maritime Organization banned bunker fuel. And that's because, you know, they said it had too high a sulfur content, and that's bad. But their replacement was something called VLSFO, or very low sulfur fuel oil. It is also a biofuel. It's got a hell of a nickname. They call it Frankenstein fuel. So, in whether it's airlines or international shipping, they're trying to transition from the misnomer fossil fuels, because they're not made by fossils. We're not going to get into abiogenesis or anything like that, but let's just put it this way. There's plenty of methane and gas on other planets, and I'm pretty sure there weren't any dinosaurs on them. But regardless, the fossil fuel industry, riddle me this. The guys that make the gas that goes in the jets, that make the clouds block the sunlight that you need for your solar energy. You think that's a coincidence?
Nothing surprises me anymore. But, you know, I wonder if there's a concentrated effort. You know, if it's because if you can reduce even a small percentage, 15, 20, 30%, out here in these big giant fields of solar panels, they also have natural gas peaker plants. And
y'all got photovoltaic collectors out there.
And I'm right by, you know, the Palo Verde nuclear power plant. So I've got Palo Verde nuclear power plant, solar panels out the butt, and within 10 miles of each other, like three natural gas peaker plants. So it's the transmission lines for the power is here. But, you know, they're putting in a lot of solar. Even if you cloud it a little bit in Arizona, you're going to get solar. But there is a benefit to them for it to be, you know, less. I guarantee that. But, you know, I'm wondering.
Well, I'll put it to you another way. Like, this is something that, you know, I got a lot of flack for. But the Lahaina fires,
yeah,
you know, they were a really big topic. And everybody kept talking about 15-minute cities and, you know, oh, they're trying to turn it into some kind of green new village and all this stuff. And that's why they burned it to the ground. And I said, well, if that's the case, then did you know that, like, 80% of, you know, the Hawaiians, the indigenous Hawaiian people, had solar panels and generated their own power, so much so that the state of Hawaii ended the buyback program that was in place because consumers were generating more power than the power companies.
Yeah, no, that doesn't surprise me.
They were already as green as you can get. I mean, like what they don't want is they say they want green energy, but they don't want is decentralization.
Right.
Your and my favorite D word.
Right.
And if you're decentralized and you're not reliant on a government to provide or, you know, utility that's run by the government or subsidized by the government, then you don't need them. So that's what makes solar dangerous, is if it's yours and you own it, or you're, God forbid, you try to go off the grid, you know, they're going to come out there and say, well, you know, your kids should be in school. You don't have proper running water, you know, and try to take your children from you. So the real question is, how free are we in America? Especially when something that's completely out of our control, which should be completely natural, the sky, is literally controlled on a daily basis by the airline industry, let alone the fact that the CIA or the U.S. Air Force or the United States Navy could be involved in rogue geoengineering, which is basically illegal geoengineering.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past few years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage is only $75 per month, level for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco user can buy $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110. Guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rates for 20 years. And if you're a smoker, we have great rates for you as well. At the Term Lifeline, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. So if you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call right now for a free quote.
Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes are based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting exam required to qualify.
800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. That's 800-430-1891.
USA News Update. Once a fixture at the Trump White House press room, newly elected governor of Arkansas Sarah Huckabee Sanders says she'll be staying in Little Rock, not in D.C.
I am honored to serve as governor, and I hope I get to do it for the next 7 years.
That's after she was asked on CBS Face the Nation if she would consider being Donald Trump's VP. Box office best movies remain unchanged this past weekend, with Mean Girls still at the top for the second straight week. The teen musical comedy garnered nearly $12 million in its second week of release. It was also the only film to break the $10 million mark. The Beekeeper, Wonka, Anyone But You, and Migration rounded out the top five. And the NFL's conference championship games are set. The Ravens will take on the Super Bowl champion Chiefs in the AFC. The Cinderella story Detroit Lions will face the San Francisco 49ers in the NFC. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Well, we're going all the way down to down under New Zealand, talking with Dave Henderson. This is we're just going to get introduced. I just want you guys to be introduced to him, say yo, what's up to Dave Henderson. Now, Dave is a real estate developer. Was, I don't know what he's doing now. I mean, he's retired, wants to save the planet. We'll talk about that. But, being a real estate guy, he had radio stations in New Zealand. So he had some influence there. He came up against the man, the Internal Revenue of New Zealand, whatever you call them, Internal Revenue guys. And they wanted to explain it to him. And he's like, oh, really? Well, he had a friend that he helped support that got in Parliament, and yeah, peace out, whatever. And all of a sudden, they had the opportunity to bring it to the fore and say, everybody, look what's up. I'm willing to do battle with these guys. Go do battle, slap them around. But you know what he got? He won. He got a letter of apology. He's like, oh, we're so sorry we bothered you. Like, is that all you got, Dave? Is that what you got? What else did you get from him?
Oh, no, they owed me money. I got that, Ernie. It wasn't a lot, but I got my money. And I was like Mel Gibson in that movie Payback. It was, they didn't owe me a lot of money. That's all I wanted. And I made it clear to them at the beginning of what was a four-year fight that didn't matter what happened. I would just keep going till I got my money. I didn't care how much it cost me. They were going to cut the check. And they did.
Actually,
it's even better. I made them, they had to give me a cash check. It's the first time in their entire history they had to give a cash check. Because I was saying, I'm not putting this money into any bank account because you'll probably steal it again. So I just, that's all I want. And, it was a lot of fun, Ernie, and, taught me a lot of lessons. But most importantly, what it taught me is just the importance of defending your values and a sense of freedom that comes from that. You know, I mean, these guys don't scare me any longer. They spend their lives trying to scare people and intimidate them. But, you know, I'm past that. I don't care any longer, which is just a great way to be. But yeah. I wrote what became a very best-selling book about it. I told my story. That was way more important than any apology or any money. And then, believe it or not, I saw the movie.
You wrote a book? Well, we got to get that in the archive, you know, for people. What was the name of the book? Don will put it up right now.
I'll find it somewhere. But better still, Ernie, I sold the movie rights, and they made a movie about my story called We're Here to Help. There you go. And look, I'll give you the executive version.
Here, do me a favor. Tilt your camera up just a little bit. It's kind of cutting off top of your head.
Okay. All right.
There you go. That's good. That's good. That's good.
Wait.
Let's talk about this a little bit. You sold the movie rights by active trying to sell it. They came and they say, Dave, we want to make a movie. Give me a movie. I want a movie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Big production company in New Zealand, South Pacific Pictures. Made a lot of movies, very popular movies. They came along, very keen, acquired the movie rights. They made a movie. They did very well in New Zealand, played in Australia, France. And then by a strange set of circumstances, it ended up being entered into the Anthem Film Festival. Are you familiar with, you know, the Scousons have that big annual event called Freedom Fest every year?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we've been there, you know, several times, uh-huh.
Well, last year was in Memphis, and they have the Anthem Film Festival, coincidentally with that. And out of all the movies, it won the best feature-length film at the Anthem Film Festival.
Well, so when was it produced?
No, it was produced about 12 years ago, believe it or not. But let me finish the story, because
Please. The
story has a great end to it, Ernie, which I'm particularly proud of for reasons you'll understand, is that these guys screwed me up. Let me go back a step. In the mid-90s, because I'm very, very determined politically and I'm a hardcore libertarian, which we can talk some more about, but I set up a chain of radio stations in New Zealand in the mid-90s called Radio Liberty. And so you can get a sense of what the radio station was about. And Radio Liberty was back in the old days, which you'll remember, of when you're trying to do radio stations. You had to go out and buy AM frequencies. You had to install, you know, 80-foot, 90-foot transmitters. You had to have backup generators. You had to have studios and staff. And so I had all of these up and down the country. I invested a ridiculous amount of money in setting it all up. And away we went, and we had the most stunning, for New Zealand, the most stunning radio setup with 24 hours. We were dealing with and talking with the issues of the day from a libertarian perspective. We were advancing libertarian philosophy. We were championing anyone who was at war with the state. It was fantastic. But coincidental with this, I had my home raided by the police, and the New Zealand equivalent of the IRS, which is called the Internal Revenue Department, IRD, it's the only difference, came after me. And they came after me and came after me and came after me. And eventually, they made up all these debts. I couldn't defend it. And eventually, I went personally bankrupt. Was my only way to deal with this, which was pretty tough at the time. But about that time, I thought, no, stuff this. I will go the distance here. I don't care what it takes. I'm going to put this right. And away I went. So it took me 4 years, and as you rightly described, I got my apology. I got my miserable amount of money, and I had the fun, immense amount of fun writing this book. But more importantly, I got back on my feet financially as a property developer, and then I bought the Inland Revenue Department's head office.
Ah.
And I changed its name, Ernie, to Henderson House. So for the next 5-6 years, all of these miserable, disgusting pricks who had beaten me up had to trudge their merry and dreary way into their office under a huge big sign that said Henderson House. And you know what? It's that old adage, isn't it? That the best form of revenge, nothing exceeds success, is the best form of revenge. And what better way of revenge than buying their office building and causing them to have to go to work to Henderson House? So that's the story.
Now, let's get a time frame on this. This is going through the 90s.
Yep.
It gets to
mid to late 90s, early 2000s. That's all going on.
So as this, you prevail, and yep. And you rebuilt yourself and so on. That's fine. But you went through a lot of pain. How much of an impact did it have on you and your family? You know, your other businesses, your friends.
Sure.
You know, I mean, did they? You know, it's always stop. You're crazy. You're never going to be able to. And you're like, don't care. Yep. You know. And then
don't care.
Did you repair your relationships with your family and friends, or
no? Well, the great thing about those events, Ernie, is you certainly quickly sort out who your real friends
are.
So that's one of the great positives. I was in a romantic relationship and she left me. So that was all positive, because someone who can't hang in those circumstances isn't worth knowing. And I had everyone the whole time saying, oh, why are you doing this? Don't you just, actually the classic line was, don't you just want to get on with your life? And I would say to people, this is my life.
Right.
This is my life. And, you know, another thing I learned, Ernie, there's much to learn, but another thing I learned is if someone is out to give you a hiding, and, you know, no one can beat the state for giving people a hiding. I mean, they have all the authority and all the power and all the ability in the world. So if someone's out to give you a hiding.
Can we ever give you a hiding, like they skin your hide?
A hiding, a beat up, you
okay.
know.
So I'll make sure we get this language right.
Yeah, no, the colloquialisms will trip us up. If someone's out to give you a beat up or a hiding, there's two things. If you decide that it's unjustified, then you absolutely commit to go the distance. That's number one. And number two is you figure out a way to enjoy the process. Now, that might sound a bit strange or a bit oxymoronic or whatever, but it's true, because the moment that you stop enjoying this, the moment you start fretting and feel under pressure and so forth, that's when those pricks have won. And so I just resolved. I was A, going the distance, and B, that I would come out of this on the right side of things, because I knew my hands were clean. And thirdly is I figured out a way to enjoy it, and I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed taking them back on. I took the piss out of them so many ways and embarrassed them. I had fun all the way down the line. I wrote my book. I had great fun doing that. And then, as I said, they made a movie from my book. And, I mean, all of that so embarrassed this government department.
Have you been married? Do you have children?
No. I have been married. I'm currently married. I have been married previously. I'm with my current partner now in a couple of weeks' time, 24 years.
Boom! All right.
And she's a sweetheart. And she knows that me sticking to my values is a very, very important part of our relationship. And if she's not up for that, then she needs to pack a case and move on.
It's not like she didn't have enough news to know what she was getting into. I mean,
oh no, no. Funny enough, that's how she met me, because she had read the book I had written, so she knew well and truly what she was getting into. I have one son who sort of is a young guy who adopted me when he was about 4 years old, and I've looked after him since then, and he's now an adult. He's married. He's got some kids, and I treat all of them as they are my grandchildren. So that's my family status. I have had everything else. Dad died when I was ridiculously young. A mother who died just very recently at almost 100. And, you know, and siblings. So all of that's fine. But, you know, all of this, the reason I got myself into trouble, and it wasn't the first time I'd had headbangs or whatever you want to call them with the state. It's because, Ernie, I learned a long time ago that, you know, the most valuable thing we have in life is our values. And if we're not clear about what our values are and we're not up for defending them, then we're just a leaf blowing in the bloody wind. And what sort of existence is that?
Okay, this is where a lot of times when I interview prominent people in the news and they do it, you know, I rattle off a bunch of names. But the one thing that I'm always interested in is why. Talk show hosts never ask why. You know, I'm going, well, I did this. I go, why? You know, what teacher, you know, what coach, what parent, what uncle, what sibling, you know, what girlfriend, what, what employer, what? Made it to where you even gave a crap, or personality trait that was either inherent genetic or, you know, you developed to go, no, heck no, this injustice shall not stand because of, I mean, it's just the resistance was the goal as opposed to what the result would be. It's just, no, you're going to get some bloody. And I'm wondering why. Why do you care? Why? You know, what made you you?
Well, you know, my personal philosophy, and actually let's go back a step. Philosophy is the most important thing here, isn't it, Ernie? I mean, that's what counts more than any other single thing, in my view, is getting one's personal philosophy very clear, very unequivocal, and being able to live it. Not just mouth it off when it suits you or you're on a show like this, but actually living it, living those fundamental core principles. And I guess as a young man, and this is late teens, early 20s, I did put a bit of effort in. I became fascinated with free market ideas. I became fascinated with the morality of freedom, the morality of, we'll say, the libertarian movement. And if I was to show you, I'm sitting in my library in an apartment I've got in a city in New Zealand, and it's, I don't know, I've got 4,000 or 5,000 books here, all the libertarian titles that you've no doubt read and seen and had. And I put a lot of time at that point in my life into trying to read, understand, and most importantly, establish very clearly my philosophy. And I think out of that, the core value that I really work hard to subscribe to is personal responsibility, because I see liberty and personal responsibility as two sides of the same coin. You cannot have one without the other. And the older I get, the more committed I get to the view that personal responsibility precedes liberty. You know, you have to embrace that. You have to live that before you can start to properly experience the wonderful experience of personal liberty.
Okay,
so
I don't want
I'm answering you.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. No, you're doing a great job. But there's one thing I know the audience and concerned individuals want to know. When you start talking about owned all these radio stations, a real estate developer, the man came after me, probably because you had money, you know. And so doing this and being successful financially, probably what painted a target on your back. But the, you know, a lot of people would put that is the goal. And they would set aside a lot of principle, go along, get along. There's, you know, and then there's some people that are willing to risk it all. Don't care. The money doesn't matter that much to them, but it does give you the ability to resist. It gives, you know, money is options, and options is another word for freedom. I mean, you know, you have these abilities. So I'm wondering, your financial success was part of these principles or in spite of it, you know, and what it was that makes you to where you were someone that could afford to do these kinds of things. And you just lucky you won the lottery. There's another trait because you didn't have a family and you were able to put a lot of effort and work into it. You know, explain your financial success and how your principled either helped that or hindered it.
Well, I mean, I'm an entrepreneur at base, Ernie. In other words, I'm fortunate to have some creative skills and ability everywhere I look in terms of my own personal attitude or disposition. Everywhere I look, I see opportunity. And I think we live in a world full of opportunity. So I have been very creative in both establishing businesses, and in fact, I've had business in America. I've had very successful business in Australia and through New Zealand. I've had failures with things where I've skinned my knees and had things that didn't work out. But along the way, I discovered that I had some ability in terms of property development and the will to risk capital in those types of ventures. And I'm conscious that a lot of people are risk averse and hesitant. And I get that. I understand it. I have tremendous empathy for it. But I have been fortunate that from time to time in my life, I've had ridiculous successes and made a lot of money. But my focus whenever I've made money has been trying to think what I can constructively do to disseminate these ideas, to disseminate the ideas that I think are valuable and indeed need to be disseminated.
Okay, so, okay, here it comes again. Here it comes. Why?
Well, go back to philosophy. What truly matters? What truly matters in life is personal philosophy and taking personal responsibility to achieve freedom. But once you do that, Ernie, you just want to have others to try and get the same ideas, the same view. Now, I wouldn't be certainly as financially successful. I wouldn't be so clear in my personal philosophy and so determined about it if it were not for the fact that there were a heap of people before me who promoted these ideas, and through that, either directly, one-on-one with me, and there were people in my community who did that, or through the books they wrote, the talks they gave, or whatever, that I was able to be a beneficiary of, encouraged me to those views. So that's why, Ernie, is that I think I have an obligation every time I have a chance to try and encourage some other young guy or young woman somewhere to those ideas and those views. And look, I don't care what it costs me, so long as it's surplus money that I've got and effort. If I can get one person in the course of a year to stand up from at their desk at their government department somewhere around the world, or certainly New Zealand, and push their desk over and say, I've had a gutsful, I'm out of here, there is something better beyond this meaningless dross, then I think I've been a roaring success.
Well, of course, but I mean, you know, there's some benefit to you or you wouldn't do it. You know, is it the satisfaction that you get? Is it, you know, humanity marches on? It was, see, the reason I keep hammering on the why is because there's always something that happened either in your childhood or your experience with the family or a close friend or something that filled you with a positive feeling. A lot of times, it's just the fact that you got empathy. You know, it's the fact that you're human. Because a lot of these guys that we're up against, you know, they're at Davos there. It's a bunch of freaking sociopaths. And I didn't even understand that until the last few years. You know, I hear psychopath, sociopath all the time. Yeah, whatever, they're a bad guy. You know, in my day, it used to be they had a criminal mind, whatever that meant. So it's they don't care. I know why. They do these bad things because they can, and it benefits them, and they don't give a crap, you know, what it does to you.
Sure.
It does. Well, it matters to you, and I want to know why.
Well, it's not an altruistic. It's not an altruistic event, Ernie, or drive. You know, first and foremost, I want to live, and I want to see people live, but I want to live in a free world. I want to live in a world that champions.
You selfish SOB.
I know. It's appalling, isn't it? But I do genuinely want to live in that. Now, funnily enough, I don't, and you don't, and there's not a person on the face of this planet that does, because every square meter or square yard or inch of this planet has been claimed by some authority in some state. So we don't do that jurisdictionally, but you can certainly do it personally. I mean, yep. I live my life. I live my life telling the state to piss off. Now, I also have reflected, because I've spent a lot of time in the U.S., I have no doubt if I live my life the way I do in New Zealand, in the U.S., right now, instead of talking to you over the internet on the show, I would be rotting away in some penitentiary somewhere.
You think?
Having been,
you think the U.S. is worse than New Zealand now?
In that respect, way worse. I mean, the great thing about a small country is you, and it's one of the reasons why I build a profile, is you build a profile and, you know, and then you do get a reputation that you are going to go the distance. I mean, we have a screwed up justice system, but and fundamentally the US and New Zealand, our justice systems are predicated on English law and a long history of English law. Now, it's not ideal, but it's certainly better than most. It's one of the reasons I stay in New Zealand. It's because it has the English system of law, which does give you some rights and does give you some benefits.
It's obvious. The unthinkable continues. Most Americans know something very wrong is happening. People in charge keep telling you that everything's fine and to stop noticing. But you know better. That's why self-reliant folks are investing in emergency food storage. And you should, too. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, are the ones you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Save $200 on each 3-month food kit you purchase. My Patriot Supply also sells solar generators, gravity-powered water filters, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your items ship that same day and arrive quickly on your doorstep in unmarked boxes. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. Time is running out to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good, they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.